So perhaps what I thought might be quite useful is to find out a bit from Anna, for the reason why we've all convened here this afternoon, and just find out about a bit about the kind of project and the history of the project, and then thinking about your kind of invitation to these three artists, and why these three artists are important to your work, and also vice versa, really, your work to kind of Anna and the project, and then to kind of enable maybe a few more kind of ideas about how the project can grow or what we need to think about in the details of the project. And I was also thinking about this idea of the relationship of what this means to the broader context of kind of contemporary art and the relationship to the art world and how, if that's important, and how perhaps if it is important, then we can think about developing that relationship in some way. Because it's always important in some way. And yeah, so yeah, perhaps Anna, you want to kick off?
Yeah, the project. Well, that text I just gave you, I don't know if you had a read, Judith, but I was sitting on the train thinking how what copy would I write for the website, which is now up there, not quite in the right place. And you know, starting to, I suppose, represent it to the outside world, because I found myself thinking I've known the site for so long, and it's a real, but quite a, it's become almost a banal place to me, an everyday part of my life here, at least. And so that's kind of interesting. When did that start? You know, it's just been there. But when I came to live here a few years ago, I after the initial shock started thinking, how would I work here? How would I work in this place where there's not really an audience, there's not an art centre? Well, you're probably one of the nearest, actually, which is 2 hours away. And it's and where is public space? What is the public space around here? And I kind of initially felt like, oh, it's the countryside, you know. And then the more I've been here, the more I've gone under the layers, really, gone into the layers of what initially looks like quite a free space, I guess. I mean, it is all private land. Is no freer than, I mean, comparing it with a city context. And then the common is obviously slightly different to the rest of the land. So I sort of beelined into that, became interested in that. It's no longer a common, but it was at some point. And then it relates to all the other ideas of what is common land, common copyright, common endeavour, public space, perhaps. And it is actually one of the little bits around here where the public come and they, you know, it's like they're allowed there. Even though the countryside is networked with footpaths and stuff, it's still really inaccessible. So that drew me to, you know, it's like I started getting interested in that and what is this access thing all about? And just on a personal level of getting around, how, you know, when you walk around London, there it's full of buildings that you can't go in, obviously. And somehow here, even though it looks open, it's actually full of places that you can't go in, even though it's kind of not a visual. There's a visual freedom and openness, unlike having blocks in front of your face, tower blocks or. And I start, so yeah, started having ideas about the place, thought, process of finding out who owns it, because it's not owned by the people, and getting to know them and what their issues are. And I thought, I don't want to be the artist. I don't want to. Somehow it didn't feel right to do that. It felt like it was too much, and I wanted to invite people to come. And also, just you know, being away from the discourse and the general community of the art world in a city. It just seemed like the really obvious thing to do is invite people to come here and have those conversations, set up a conversation in a way, not just a short one, but a really long, maybe it's a 1 year or a 2 year conversation, and invite the people I want to talk to in a way. So I've had quite a few notions of what art I might want to make there, but I've kind of left that behind now somehow. So that answers a bit of your sort of what you laid out. And yeah, Anna, Adam and Judith, I like their work, I like your work, and feel like there are, you know, reciprocities somehow from what I know. So that there would be a conversation, really, inevitably, even if it's not a spoken one. There's a kind of, understandings or just interests are going to overlap.
I can relate to that thing of the audience, even from having hung out in Bridport, that event, the music event the other night.
Uh-huh, how so?
I just started thinking, oh God, now I'm getting to know the sort of people that might see the work, and so now I'm thinking about them and I'm getting a bit scared about that. And before that moment, I was just here, hanging out in the countryside, not thinking at all in detail about specific individuals that might see the work, and then thinking, oh, well, what would that sort of person make of it? Making prejudgments that weren't really helpful, actually, but they might become helpful. But it made me think about that idea of making work in this context, and being a parent at a school where there's all kinds of people who know you on a completely different level, and then that you might present what you really do, besides picking up your children, and that's a whole nother. It's quite a raw thing.
It's quite, and also there's the more maybe political, with a small p level of the whole cycle path thing, which I haven't mentioned, which is there is this proposal, and it is very controversial, and it's, and my position in relation to it as a local is quite, that's raw. It's kind of like, how far am I going to stick my neck out? And what does that mean? What would it, the school gates.
I suppose it's quite school interesting represents because it's a community, a diverse community, doesn't it? So that referring to the school is that kind of everyone can be there. It's not a collection of people gathered for a particular interest, or so it's kind of a good analogy for the whole community in a way.
But having a bit of distance and working with other people, not as an artist as such, although what's the difference as well? I'm exploring that too. It's just a bit of different distance, and it's not just me, I suppose, doing something in isolation, because that has a different meaning to the potential audience, doesn't it?
I think it would be good maybe not to think about the audience for the moment, because I think we want to kind of, I mean, it's implicit, obviously, because it's part of the context. And but what's kind of essential is kind of really thinking about the work, and then obviously that will come from the kind of relationship with the audience will come from that perspective, I think. But it is an interesting kind of part of kind of making a project like this, because you're working in a really specific location, which is a rural context, which, you know, not to say that kind of culture isn't a part of that, but actually when you just kind of bring in a project into this environment, it's kind of, you know, why is this happening? If, you know, a general person might just ask kind of why is this existing? So it's like, how do you build those discussions and that relationship with the audience to kind of bring them along with you into the work, really?
Also,
which is kind of a difficult challenge, but that I think can come out of it.
I think as an artist coming into this situation, actually, it is quite important to consider the audience or potential audiences, because we'll invite people from outside of this area as well, and there'll be a huge difference between those people coming to see something and local people who know the area really well, and that certainly in terms of the way I'm thinking about it at the moment. It's really important to consider that the diversity of the audience potentially. I'm not very far down the line, it feels, in some ways, which is why I'd like to start. But basically, at the minute, I'm thinking of doing this kind of blind walk into the common. So it would involve people being here and an event taking place. And I think I said it in my very short text that it really came out of driving from Dorchester, actually driving in further and further and further and going deeper and deeper into the heart of British countryside. And then that moment of arriving and the desire to want to go deeper still, really. Mm-hmm. And the only... and what was left was then not being able to see. Mm. So there's that, and then wanting to bring various events or make these visible, or they might just be sound actually now, I'm not really sure, but to people on this walk that are from the very exterior to the common. So there's this sort of with the blindness, your access is sort of restricted in some ways, further restricted is restricted in some way, but then a sort of excess is brought that the tricky bit is what exactly these events are. I've got a long list of what they could be, And to some degree, I want them to be quite superficial and arbitrary and quite random. But on the other hand, they come out of various things that relate to the common in different ways. Mm. So they can be very, very external but very internal at the same time.
Give us an example.
Well, like the music from the circus. Yeah. Shall I see? And that could be played under coming from different spaces in the woods, so from underneath, there's one point where the path goes over some water, so from underneath a bridge or a sort of, or the last post being played in the distance, or a circular saw just going off right behind you, really close by. So some things could be really abrupt and quite surprising, I suppose, but and other things much more sort of gently pull, you know, volume. I don't know, there's a question of whether they're then pre-recorded or things that are happening live. At the moment, there are a lot of ideas, but there are also a heck of a lot of questions about every layer of the idea.
Mm.
That's where I am, really. Mm.
So what are the questions?
The questions are to do with content, sort of the, what was the other question? Yeah, the kind of the pre-recorded sound or live sound. I quite like the idea of pre-recorded sound, that it's something that, and that it's a completely blind walk, but it's with people just closing their eyes. I haven't been making various types of goggles and various different things, there's this kind of level of trust that I'm trusting them to close their eyes, and they're trusting me to take them on this sort of walk, and referencing back to Sargent's painting from the First World War called Gassed, that painting is in the Imperial War Museum of the soldiers kind of following one behind each other. I've gone off on one, but so that if there's then pre-recorded sound, but possibly making a book or a blog or some kind of publication of the images, so kind of silent images of these events that then have another life, as it were. So you don't see things when you're here, and then you do when you're not, if you like. But the sound would be then pre-recorded, so that there isn't the ambient noise. So what would be played would be the pure sound. But what's seen is getting very complicated, and I'm not sure about it at all because of that. what's seen is the image as if it's played in situ. So there's this kind of what's the word? Doesn't quite
disjunction.
Yes. Yeah. But all we just did a test with walking, with you just shutting your eyes. I was walking behind Andrea because I hadn't actually done that. And what's nice, I mean, even I'd open my eyes at a certain point because something happened. And I just saw my feet, but then trying to shut my eyes again. And then, so it became like a sort of subliminal image that then also becomes part of the walk, and and the light also changing as you walk from.
Are you holding on to him?
I was just
so you don't fall over.
So you know where to. Yeah, I mean, I've tried it on my own, but you can only do a few steps before it's like fall into a ditch or something. But I'm also interested in the. Other people mentioned the sort of on path, off path kind of thing, and how that would work in relation to not being able to. Because the minute you go off the path and you can't see, it becomes really quite hairy.
So who are the people who are blindfolded?
They wouldn't be, no blindfold, just shutting their eyes. But
okay,
they would be nice. People who want to go on the walk.
Okay.
The audience.
The audience, yeah.
Could they do that through instructions only, or do you perceive yourself to be their guide? Go for a walk on the common with your eyes closed, and that might be occurring at a time where these pre-recorded sounds for a period of time are going to be playing back, or whether it's something that you would sort of performatively guide, so that an audience would meet the artist or somebody and be led in quite a specific way, rather than father and son. Oh, look, let's try this.
Yeah, no, it's a guide. It would be specifically guided. I quite like this, the idea of it being like really controlling in one way and sort of out of control in another.
Military precision.
There's a lot. I wrote something somewhere about it, but there's that it's very controlled. It's a very sort of organised, structured. How the sound works in different places and all that kind of stuff. It's sort of it would have to be. I wouldn't want to leave things that people either stumble across or not. They'll have. It's an experience of some kind. It's very experiential.
It's almost like perambulatory theatre, or there's a bit of a I'm hopeless at facts, but I'm sure there's a historical model of theatre that is you do as a walk.
Not just theatre but also actually Grotowski did as part of his kind of he would, you know, one of the things would be to go off into the, you know, the landscape and be blindfolded.
Who's Grotowski?
He's
Polish. Kind of came from physical theatre, but it was a lot to do with this kind of improvised theatre and to do with, you know, they're like arto, this kind of expressiveness of the body, and and definitely it was, but also the idea of going off to the woods and as a group being blind in some way, and therefore it also being about trust, that somehow this thing which seems to be, anyway, from an urban perspective, the idea of being in the dark in the woods is, you know, a potentially really terrifying idea, but that you should go and kind of take control of that situation. And it's partly about how you therefore become dependent upon the group, and whether you're all sort of vulnerable to the same extent, and how much that kind of creates, I guess, you know, a sense of kinship. I mean, I think it's sort of it's used in that sort of ritualistic way.
Well, you're kind of vulnerable and you're not, in a sense. In a way, you know, I think within, I think it's an art project. No, it's not. I'm interested in that point at which you do you experience something. I'm talking off the top of my head. That you experience something, you know it's okay, but it sort of isn't at the same time. Do you know what I mean? It's like if suddenly a circular chainsaw started up really close. I mean, it would be quite abrupt, I think, and quite sort of intrusive. But nothing's going to happen. Do you know what I mean? It's just the sound of the circular of the chainsaw. So it's a kind of, there's a sort of, a disappointment. It's always going to,
so it's going to be disappointing.
Fail in a way. You know, it's in one way. Yeah.
I think that's also what you've just described. I think is like, that's when the imaginative space begins. It's when, in those moments when you see, I don't know, you see a ditch and you imagine yourself falling in it, but you don't, or you just step over it. But there's this kind of, I don't know, that's what I... Sounds like everyday life to me. happens all the time.
Yeah.
Do you know,
it's an interesting space, though, because it is happening all the time, that little moments of imagination, or it sort of interjects into, like, what's the reality of, oh, they're not going to chop your head off with a chainsaw, they're just cutting some logs.
I think there's that moment of anxiety in the rural without being blindfolded when you come across, you know, if you're walking alone and you come across someone else. And I think definitely. There's always, you know, who are they, what might they do? Mm. And then the way we compensate for that is by doing this really over-enthusiastic hello. Which is great when you have children with you, because they, do you know that person?
Yeah.
No. Why did you say hello to them? Yeah. Is this what you do when you pass someone on a country path?
That's interesting. Strangers on the line. I've had a few,
I tried to say hello to a cyclist yesterday, and he didn't. And I was wearing quite formal sort of clothing, and with a tripod and camera and this sort of measuring stick thing that I've got with me. And I looked, probably more like a sort of surveyor than a walker, and he was... decidedly perturbed, but I'm like, you know, because obviously it's not a cycle path.
Shall we hear more from you, and then we can go into wider or whatever general stuff?
Yeah,
be great.
Yeah. Oh, I was just thinking about Simon Pesaghetti and Phil Smith, who live in Exeter.
Oh, Rights and Sights.
Rights and Sights, who are an hour away. Mm. And their work is about walking, ambulation.
Oh, right. Okay.
And it might be just...
I've met Phil.
Great guys. And it just kind of... Phil Smith writes very beautifully about art, walking, and art and walking. And it might be just worth kind of having a chat with him, or next time you're down, and asking them to come over and about the work, because they have some really interesting perspectives on it, actually. And just kind of,
it'd be really nice to invite them to come as well, at least. Yeah, if not before. It's quite a nice idea.